Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking news at 8 o'clock. We have three big backups I'm tracking right now in the Triangle. I'll show you how to get around the mess.
And it's a cold start this morning with temperatures in the 20s and low 30s for most of us. We'll see a much warmer afternoon as well as tomorrow, but I'll show you the changes headed our way for the weekend.
Computer systems are back up and running at UNC hospitals after an outage last night. Coming up, the questions we're asking hospital officials this morning about what happened.
Well, social media CEOs were on the hot seat on Capitol Hill. Why Mark Zuckerberg took time to apologize to parents and the changes leaders from both sides of the aisle want to see. Bring you all the news you need to get your day started here. A beautiful one on the way. 8 o'clock is the time. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Yeah, thanks for joining us. It's a little chilly out there this morning, but it's going to warm up so nicely later today. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner with a look over Warrenton. Pretty blue skies. We're going to get near 60. Yeah, looking at temperatures in the upper 50s and low 60s today and then low to mid 60s tomorrow. So a very pleasant end to the week. We take a live look at Warrenton, looking at those beautiful blue skies, which we're seeing everywhere across the viewing area. Temperatures in the Triangle are in the mid 30s, but it's colder in most other places. 33 Fayetteville, 32 in Clinton, 31 in Southern Pines, 31 in Roxboro, and 20s for Roxboro and South Hill. The Triangle is just a little bit warmer because of some cloud cover that rolled in overnight last night. It was a very small little batch of clouds, but it's kept our temperatures a little bit warmer. That is, clouds tend to hold in that daytime heating like a blanket. 24-hour temperature change anywhere from 5 to about 10 degrees colder than this time yesterday, but the afternoon will be just the opposite. We'll be about 10 degrees warmer this afternoon than we saw yesterday with lots of sunshine. Tomorrow looks lovely too for Groundhog Day. We'll talk about what the groundhog thinks about the remainder of the winter, but we'll also take a scientific look at what we can see through the month of February. Coming up, Brian.
It is 8:02 right now. We are following breaking news this morning with three big delays around the Triangle. We're going to start off in Raleigh with a crash on 40 westbound between Rock Quarry Road and the Hammond Road interchange. This is the camera at Rock Quarry Road. The crash itself not in view here, but you can certainly see the backups. And our sensors are still indicating an 8-minute delay from 440 out toward the US 1 interchange. Also seeing some backups coming in from Garner on 40 westbound this morning, beginning around Jones Sausage Road. So it's a slow ride out of Garner into Southeast Raleigh. If you can pick up 40 westbound from Hammond Road, you'll be on the other side of that crash, and it's wide open from there all the way into West Raleigh. Some of the other problems that we are watching this morning on our sensor map, an earlier crash on 40 westbound right around, or rather 40 eastbound around Davis Drive has cleared. We're still seeing some lingering backups, though. Add that in with our sun glare delays, and you're looking at about a 10-minute delay coming in from Chapel Hill back toward 885. Also, we've seen some slowdowns on 885 in both directions this morning. Had a couple of crashes reported out there on the southbound side. It is starting to look a little better. In Raleigh, a crash reported on 440 westbound between Lake Boone Trail and Wade Avenue. The backups from that are kind of merging into the usual delays that we see as you come in from 87 and Capitol Boulevard this morning. I want to take you out to that live camera at 440 at Lake Boone Trail. And on the westbound side, you can see that backed up traffic, a 15-minute delay right now, according to sensors. Unfortunately, not too many great alternate routes there on that stretch of the Beltline. Looking around the rest of Wake County, we're not picking up any unusual delays at this point, just the typical backups coming in from Apex on US 1 and on southbound Capitol Boulevard out of Wake Forest, the usual delays heading toward the 540 interchange. We're looking a little better in Smithfield. We had an earlier crash at 210 at Cleveland Road, and it reportedly was closed for a little while, but sensors are indicating that it may be moving a little more smoothly now. Remember, we're on the radio at 99.3 FM in Raleigh, 96.5 FM in Durham. Another update in a few minutes.
Thanks, Brian. Questions remain this morning surrounding why UNC hospitals experienced a network outage last night. 15 hospitals were affected by this, and once again, they are back to accepting new patients this morning. WRAL's Kelsey Coffey is at UNC Rex in Raleigh. UNC says that they don't know exactly what it was, but they know it wasn't a cyber attack. Is that right, Kelsey?
Jeff, that's exactly what they're thinking about right now, but there's still a lot of unanswered questions this morning. 15 hospitals were impacted by that outage, including UNC Rex here in Raleigh. And the outage was repaired around 10:30 last night. Those 15 hospitals were forced to stop accepting new patients for nearly 2 hours. If a patient was headed their way in an ambulance, they had to send them somewhere else. UNC says they used their contingency plan while the system was shut down. That way, they could still care for the patients who were already in the building. UNC Health released a statement. They say they don't believe this was a result of a cyber attack or anything malicious, but we're still not sure what exactly caused this. So we're working to find out more about what happened during the outage and what the root cause is behind it. We're going to stay on top of this and keep you updated. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News, live in Raleigh.
A driver is facing several felony charges after leading troopers on a chase that ended in a crash. It started when the car was speeding on I-40 near the Rock Quarry Road exit at about 1 o'clock this morning. The driver crashed on I-87 at the Pool Road exit and ran from the car. Troopers and Raleigh police say they were able to take him into custody.
Classes are back in session at all schools in Durham today after a major protest forced dozens of schools to close yesterday. The school board plans to meet tomorrow to discuss how to fix those ongoing pay issues they're having. Documents show one of the options being considered during Friday's special meeting credits classified employees for state experience only. There would be a minimum 4% increase to classified employees over last year. The second option implements an 11% salary increase over last year for classified employees, and last year's salary steps would be restored. 12 Durham schools that closed yesterday while staff members participated in a sick out will be open once again today. The school board meets on this issue 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
And the school closings meant major disruptions for parents and students. Those we spoke with said it's worth it if staff members get what they need. That includes mothers like Gwen Nagel, who dropped off boxes of sandwiches and snacks for students who were stuck at home yesterday.
Everyone I know, including myself, is just horrified by the situation because, you know that public schools are underfunded, but it just takes one situation like this to really break the system.
And she says she hopes these disruptions will force the school board and superintendent to listen to the teacher and staff demands.
Animal surrenders have resumed at the Wake County Animal Center with new requirements, though. The center stopped taking surrenders last month after being over capacity for 2 years. Owners giving up their pets will have to apply and make an appointment first. The shelter hopes this will alleviate overcrowding and the need to euthanize animals. It will also help the center connect pet owners with resources to help avoid having to surrender their animals in the first place in some situations.
A rare moment of bipartisanship on Capitol Hill, where you're looking live right now. Lawmakers grilled some of the tech industry's biggest names about the damage social media is doing to young people. Grieving families also confronted the CEOs, including Mark Zuckerberg, who offered an apology off mic.
I'm sorry for everything that you've all been through. No one should have to go through the things that your families have suffered. And this is why we invested so much and are going to continue doing industry-leading efforts to make sure that no one has to go through the types of things that your families have had to suffer.
And Zuckerberg's statement and remarks from other CEOs about online safeguards were met with criticism and skepticism from lawmakers and families. Senators pressed about sexually explicit images of children on Instagram, drug deaths linked to social media platforms, and other issues. Many lawmakers are intent on tougher regulations and overturning a law that immunizes companies from lawsuits over user-generated content.
Today, we'll get to know the new head coach of the Carolina Panthers a little better. Dave Canales will be formally introduced this morning at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte. This is video of him arriving at the team's facility yesterday. New general manager Dan Morgan will also be introduced today. WRL's Chris Lee will be there, and we'll have coverage later today here on WRL. New impacts of the tensions in the Red Sea. Animals stuck on a ship for nearly a month are now finally free, but they didn't end up where they were supposed to be. We'll explain that.
Plus, some big artist music no longer available on TikTok. Why Universal Music Group wasn't able to reach a deal with a social media company.
And a nice day today, 10 degrees warmer than yesterday with lots of sunshine and even warmer for tomorrow. But I'll show you the front that comes through to drop our temperatures a bit for the weekend coming up.
8:12 is the time right now on your Thursday. Could that Lake Gaston be any more calm and serene right now? Cue some ducks or something coming through that shot. It looks beautiful right there. The sun's going to make a big splash today, too. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center right now. We have it.
Oh, the reflections of the colors on the water when it's that still or something else, aren't they? Looking at that blue sky everywhere right now. Goldsboro, Apex, Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. And, of course, our newsroom there on Hay Street in Fayetteville, all looking good. We'll see lots of sunshine all day long. But tomorrow, we're tracking a front that'll come through. There's not going to be any rain with this front, but it'll bring us some brief cloud cover as it drops in on us from the north. And then it's going to switch our wind direction. So southwesterly today warms up through tomorrow. And then in the afternoon, we'll see that front push through and behind that front, the colder air arrives for the weekend. It's not going to be anything dramatic. We're not talking about an Arctic blast by any means. But we go from 58 today and 63 tomorrow, back down into the mid-50s for Saturday and Sunday. Still going to be very pleasant to be outside. It's also Groundhog Day for tomorrow. The groundhog may see its shadow because we'll see partly cloudy skies. And, of course, the folklore is if the groundhogs see their shadow, six more weeks of winter. If not, it's an early spring. Certainly snurred in Garner and any other groundhogs that we have across our viewing area are likely to see their shadow. At lunchtime, 60 degrees under partly cloudy skies. It should be just a lovely day to be out and about. Hopefully we'll see more than just the groundhogs out and about tomorrow enjoying a beautiful day. Let's talk about scientifically what we could see for February. This is a look at a computer model that shows trends for the month. We typically, the way computer models work, they're pretty good up to around 7 days or so. And then just the way it works, they're not as reliable once you get past 7 days, which is why we have a 7-day forecast and not a forecast for the entire month of February. But what we can do is look at trends. And right now it looks like we won't see any extreme warmth or extreme cold temperatures for any long period of time during the month of February, or at least overall for the month. So that kind of covers everybody, right? I know the skiers would love to have some more snow, and boy, the mountains look fantastic. There's Apsky Mountain, there's Beach, there's Sugar and Winter Place in West Virginia. And they've had plenty of snow with some cold conditions. So it looks like it would be a nice weekend for skiing. We'll see mostly sunny skies and highs in the 40s in the northern mountains, a little bit warmer down south. Bryson City looking at 61, looking dry on Sunday too with a very winter-like feel. But of course, we have a winter-like feel at the coast too. Highs will be in the mid-40s to mid-50s on Saturday and again on Sunday, but we will see plenty of sunshine. So, you know, bundle up in a jacket and go for a walk on the beach. It should be lovely. Again, tomorrow's looking at 63. We're mainly in the 50s for next week. The coldest day will be Tuesday with a high of 48. Brian?
8:15, Elizabeth, all new, getting reports of a crash on 40 eastbound now between the Fayetteville Road interchange and 55. You add that together with an earlier crash we had at Davis Drive and some sun glare delays, and we're looking at some pretty big backups. Want to take you to some of those sun glare backups. This is on 40 eastbound at Old Reedy Creek Road between Aviation Parkway and Harrison Avenue, leaving the airport, heading back toward Cary. And here's a look at some of the backups we're tracking through South Durham and on into the western side of Wake County. On 40 eastbound right now from 15501 to 885, about a 20-minute delay. Remember, part of that is because of that minor crash just beyond Fayetteville Road, but a lot of that is because of those sun glare backups. And then heading away from 540 back toward Wade Avenue, you're looking at about a 5-minute slowdown. So need to give yourself that extra time as we deal with those sunny skies and glare getting in your eyes. Checking some of the other problem spots around the triangle, here's a closer look at Durham. You can see those delays in both directions of I-40 and also on 885. We're still seeing some backups on the north and southbound sides, although it looks a little more typical for a morning commute. Checking in on the south side of Raleigh at 40 westbound at Rock Quarry Road, a report of a crash out by the Hammond Road interchange. Seeing some improvement out there. Now looking at a 5-minute delay overall from 440 out toward US-1. It looks like that crash at Hammond Road has been moved over to the side of the road and lanes are starting to open out there. Elsewhere around the triangle, we're looking okay in the central part of Raleigh, but we are watching some delays on the Beltline with a crash on 440 westbound right around Lake Boone Trail. Some heavy backups from the Six Forks Road area out toward Lake Boone Trail this morning, about a 15-minute delay overall. Don't forget, listen to us on the radio at 99.3 FM in Raleigh, 96.5 FM in Durham.
All right, thanks, Brian. Growing tensions around the Red Sea are disrupting trade routes, including one ship carrying thousands of sheep and cattle. A ship carrying 14,000 sheep and 2,000 cattle has returned to Australia after abandoning its journey through the Red Sea. It had been docked since January 29th, but the animals have been on board since January 5th. The Australian government says the animals are in good health and they're deciding on letting them off or sending them back on their journey. Animal welfare advocates argue that leaving them on the ship is torture.
The Georgia district attorney leading the election fraud case against former President Donald Trump is being subpoenaed to testify about an alleged affair. Fani Willis will be expected to testify at a hearing next month. Nathan Wade, the lead prosecutor in the election case, has also been subpoenaed. They're facing allegations that they were involved in an improper romantic relationship. Trump and two of his co-defendants want Willis disqualified from the election case.
The teenager from California known as the serial swatter by police is believed to be responsible for hundreds of swatting incidents and bomb threats across the country. 17-year-old Alan Fillion has been extradited to Florida to face charges there. Authorities say that he threatened a mass shooting at a mosque in Sanford, Florida last year. Officials say he also targeted high schools, historically black colleges, FBI offices, and FBI agents. The teen is also accused of making bomb threats to military bases and the Pentagon. Fillion is charged as an adult on several felony charges.
Today's entertainment news, Kris Jenner goes back in time, Adam Sandler receives recognition for his career, and more. Here's Ashley Dvorkin with all the latest in the Hollywood Nation.
Let me make you an offer.
Elba gets a renewal, Sandler scores a new honor, and Jenner lands a big game spot in the Hollywood Nation.
So every little detail about our family will be on TV?
The Kardashian-Jenner matriarch will be part of the Super Bowl entertainment. Kris Jenner stars in a commercial for Oreo that features the famous Momager in a flashback scene, twisting the iconic chocolate sandwich cookie to help her decide if her family should be in a new reality series. The ad also includes people throughout history twisting the cookie to make critical decisions. It airs during the big game on February 11th. Adam Sandler will receive the highest honor at the upcoming People's Choice Awards. The comedy star will be presented with the People's Icon Award for his decades-long comedy career. The ceremony, hosted by Simu Liu, airs February 18th on NBC, Peacock, and E! Ralph Fiennes is working behind and in front of the camera for his next project. According to Deadline, Fiennes has written and will direct, as well as star in The Beacon, a drama that explores class, race, and identity in contemporary Britain.
Sam's the best at handling it.
And Idris Elba's negotiating skills will be put to the test again. Apple TV Plus renewed its popular high-octane thriller Hijack for a second season, with Elba reprising his role as negotiator and hero Sam Nelson.
We just need to be ready.
That was Ashley Dvorkin reporting. Well, new this morning, you will no longer be able to hear artists like Taylor Swift and Ariana Grande on TikTok. Universal Music Group has officially started to pull music off the app because the two companies failed to reach a deal over royalties. This comes after the agency posted an open letter on social media claiming that TikTok wants to pay its artists a lower rate than other social media sites. Some videos that have the songs are still available, but the sound has been removed. The contract between UMG and TikTok expired yesterday.
More streaming services are cracking down on password sharing. Disney is expected to start banning account sharing next month. This would include access to Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus, following in the footsteps of what Netflix did. Hulu subscribers were sent an email saying the service would start limiting account sharing beginning March 14th.
The Food and Drug Administration issues a warning about unapproved copycat eye drops. According to the FDA, three products that you see on your screen here lack an active ingredient used in approved eye drops. So far, there's no word where these products came from, and an investigation is underway. The FDA says the copycat products can be easily mistaken for Lumify brand eye drops, which are approved. The CDC says that over the past year, there have been reports of people suffering severe eye problems after using drops that were tainted with a drug-resistant bacteria.
Happening now in the WREL Live Center, President Biden and other top U.S. officials are attending the National Prayer Breakfast. It's an annual event. I want to give you these live pictures coming into the Live Center right now. This is, of course, famed tenor Andrea Bocelli serenading the audience right there in historic Statuary Hall. This event is organized by the nonprofit National Prayer Breakfast Foundation, which welcomes all faiths. Of course, this year, everyone is recognizing that the breakfast is being held in the context of multiple global conflicts, including the wars in Ukraine and Gaza. Every U.S. president since Dwight D. Eisenhower in 1953 has attended this annual prayer breakfast. We're, of course, monitoring it for any new developments that may come out of this National Prayer Breakfast.
Thanks for that, Ken. The Jackie Robinson statue that was stolen and destroyed in Kansas will be replaced. Colorado company that helped create the statue says it still has the molds that were used to make it. The company says once it gets the green light to do the work, it'll take about 6 months to make that new statue. It's because of the company's backlog in work right now. The Jackie Robinson statue in Wichita, Kansas, was created for the city's League 42 youth baseball organization. The people who stole it cut it from its base, later broke it apart and burned it.
Today marks 64 years since a peaceful sit-in in Greensboro ignited the national civil rights movement. Four black students from North Carolina A&T State University stage a sit-in at an all-white lunch counter in Greensboro on this day in 1960. They showed up day after at the Woolworths department store, but were denied service. That Woolworths in Greensboro is now the International Civil Rights Center and Museum.
Duke Energy says North Carolinians are using more energy than expected to keep up with demand. A new power plant is coming to Person County.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning and happy Thursday. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. We're going to begin with Brian Schrader. He's tracking some major backups in Durham, Brian.
Yeah, we're watching these delays on 40 eastbound. Part of it's because of a sun glare delay, but also we have a report of a minor crash on 40 eastbound between Fayetteville Road and the Highway 55 interchange. You can see that traffic backed up there. A 30-minute slowdown showing up right now on sensors between 15501 and 885. You might consider using 54 as a good alternate route this morning if you can pick up the 885 interchange, or maybe down to Davis Drive or Miami Boulevard and pick up 40 eastbound from there. You'll be on the other side of that. Still seeing some backups in Southeast Raleigh, pardon me, because of a crash on 40 westbound right around the Rock Quarry Road interchange. That's getting cleared. In Raleigh, also on 440 westbound, we have a report of a crash out at the Wade Avenue interchange and a 14-minute delay showing up now from 87.
At least our weather looks nice. A blue sky here over Wake County as we look west from our tower camera there in the eastern part of Wake County. Our temperatures are still cold out there, though. 33 in Fayetteville, 31 Tarboro. It's 34 in Lewisburg, 32 in South Hill, 31 in Rocky Mount. So bundle up if you're about to head out the door for your morning walk or run or to head out with the dogs. Our temperatures this afternoon, though, definitely on the mild side, upper 50s under mostly sunny skies. Expect low to mid 60s tomorrow with more sunshine.
The Wake County Animal Center is resuming surrenders today, but with new rules, owners giving up their pets will have to apply and make an appointment first. The shelter hopes this will help them avoid a lack of space, which would mean euthanizing animals. Coming up next on Fox 50, young children are turning to TikTok to learn about skincare, the advice from health experts about keeping routines age appropriate. And next on Today, one woman's story on surviving a near fatal widowmaker heart attack.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking news at 8:30, big delays leaving Chapel Hill, heading through Durham. A 30-minute backup right now on 40 eastbound. I'll show you how to get around this delay.
And it's cold start. Grab the coat this morning, even though that sun's been up for a while. It's still 28 in Roxboro, 33 in Fayetteville, 31 in Goldsboro and Rocky Mount. Temperatures this afternoon, though, will be 10 degrees warmer than yesterday. I'll show you how much warmer we'll be for the next few days.
All 15 UNC system hospitals are resuming normal operations after a network outage. The questions we are asking to find out what was behind the disruption.
Plus, the Wake County Animal Center resuming pet surrenders, the new requirements owners should follow if they can no longer take care of their pets. We'll tell you everything about that story and so much more on your Thursday. We're almost to Friday. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
I'm Jeff Hogan. Yeah, thanks for making us part of your Friday Eve. Anyway, yeah. And what a way to start it off, too. Mm-hmm. Great sunrise. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center. Still cold out there, but February 1st here.
Ah, look at that. So pretty in Warrenton, and we're seeing that deep blue sky all across the viewing area. We're going to see a nice mild afternoon. Right now, we're looking at mid-30s around the triangle, but our temperatures have been colder in a lot of other spots. 31 in Southern Pines, 33 Fayetteville, 28 in Roxborough, 32 right now in South Hill. And these temperatures are anywhere from 5 to about 10 degrees colder than what we saw yesterday morning. But yesterday, we had some cloud cover. That tends to hold in any daytime heating and keep our temperatures warmer overnight. But with sunshine this afternoon, our temperatures will be about 10 degrees warmer than what we saw yesterday. Instead of 48, we're looking at a high of around 58 with plenty of sunshine. We are looking at a nice mild day for tomorrow and then slightly cooler over the weekend. Coming up, I'll show you the front that will cool us off for the next few days.
All right, it's 8:32 right now. As we take a look at traffic this morning, Elizabeth, we're going to head out to Durham. This is I-40 at Austin Avenue. New information out there. We have a crash over on the right shoulder just before you get to the I-885 interchange. You add that together with an earlier crash around Davis Drive, sun glare delays. The sensors are saying a 40-minute backup right now. I don't think it's quite that bad. Probably more like a 15 to 20-minute delay as you head away from Chapel Hill back toward the Durham Freeway. And unfortunately, I just looked at our sensor readings through that area, and 54 is not a great option for you this morning. It started to get congested as people get off of the interstate and try to avoid that big traffic jam there. However, if you are down around the 55-54 interchange in the south part of Durham, the southeast part of Durham, you might use that to get over to 885 Davis Drive, Miami Boulevard, and pick up 40 eastbound on the other side of those big delays. Working to find out if maybe there's a second crash out there contributing to some of that mess in South Durham. We have a crash on 440 westbound this morning, right around Wade Avenue, leading to some pretty big backups on the Beltline. 440 westbound now seeing a 14-minute delay from I-87 around to Wade Avenue. They're still working to get that one cleared up. They're also trying to get this crash cleared up from 40 westbound around Rock Quarry Road on the southeast side of Raleigh, with a 6-minute delay showing up right now between 440 and Rock Quarry Road, and some delays on 40 westbound leaving Garner heading into South Raleigh. As you head out this morning, remember you can listen to this live newscast on the radio at 99.3 FM in Raleigh and 96.5 FM in Durham. Another update coming up in a few minutes.
All right, thank you, Brian. UNC hospitals are once again accepting new patients this morning after a computer network outage affected operations at 15 hospitals. As WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains, officials say they don't think this was malicious, but there are still so many unanswered questions.
There's still so many unanswered questions today. 15 hospitals were impacted by that outage, including UNC Rex here in Raleigh. The computer network outage was repaired around 10:30 last night. Those 15 hospitals were forced to stop accepting new patients for nearly 2 hours. If a patient was headed their way in an ambulance, they had to send them somewhere else. UNC Health says they used their contingency plan while the system was shut down. That way, they could still care for the patients who were already in the building. UNC Health released a statement. They say they don't believe this was a result of a cyber attack or anything malicious, but we're still not sure what caused this. We're working to find out more about what happened during that outage and what potentially could be the root cause of it. We'll stay on top of this and keep you updated. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Raleigh.
The Durham Public Schools Board plans to meet tomorrow to discuss how to fix pay issues that have been plaguing them. This comes after major protests Wednesday forced schools to close. Documents show one of the options being considered during Friday's special meeting credits classified employees for state experience only. There would be a minimum 4% increase to classified employees over last year. The second option implements an 11% salary increase over last year for classified employees, and last year's salary steps would be restored. A dozen Durham schools were closed yesterday as staff members participated in a sick out. As educators say, they are all in this together.
We really worked together and to stand together to have our school closed for the day. It would never be our wish not to be with our students, but if we don't feel like we can provide the education they deserve, we felt like we needed to unify behind our colleagues to do what's right for our students.
The school board meets to talk about all this at 3:00 tomorrow afternoon.
A driver is facing several felony charges after leading troopers on a chase that ended in a crash. It started when the car was speeding on I-40 near the Rock Quarry Road exit at about 1:00 this morning. The driver crashed on I-87 at the Pool Road exit and ran from the car. Troopers and police were able to take him into custody.
The fourth funeral for the teenagers killed in a crash on I-95 will be tomorrow. A funeral for Alan Lockamie is scheduled for Friday at 4 o'clock at United Methodist Church in Selma. Yesterday, a funeral for 17-year-old Christopher Jackson was held at Temple Baptist Church in Selma. Jackson also lost his life in the crash January 22nd. Funeral services have already been held for Samaj Williams and Freddie Saris. They were all students at Smithfield Selma High School.
Days after the deaths of three American soldiers in a drone attack in the Middle East, the scope of U.S. retaliation against targets connected to Iran is coming out into sharper focus. U.S. officials are describing a campaign that could last for weeks and is expected to include Iranian targets outside of Iran. They tell NBC News the targets have not been finalized, but strikes are expected on multiple places in several countries. The White House says a group of Iranian-backed militias called the Islamic Resistance in Iraq carried out Sunday's attack on the remote outpost in Jordan.
Happening now in the WRAL Live Center, we want to take you to these live pictures coming to us out of Lewiston, Maine. This is the Lewiston Commission investigating that mass shooting that happened last October. This is an independent commission investigating the events leading up to the deadliest mass shooting in Maine's history. Now, the commission will hear from family members of victims, one of whom you see right there testifying already. These testimonies are expected to be extremely heartbreaking. The shooting happened on October 25th. When an Army reservist opened fire with an assault rifle on a bowling alley and a bar, 18 people were killed, 13 others were injured. We'll, of course, keep monitoring this for any new developments. Look for new reporting about this in our later newscasts.
It's relief for the family of fallen Raleigh police officer Gabriel Torres. His death has been determined to have happened in the line of duty, meaning his family will be able to get additional benefits. That's according to the Raleigh Police Protective Organization. Torres is one of five people killed in the Headingham mass shooting October 2022. He was leaving for work when he was shot and killed in his neighborhood. In April, state lawmakers proposed the Gabe Torres Act, which would expand death benefits for public safety workers who are killed on their way to or engaged in or returning from duty or training. That bill remains in the state Senate committee.
Animal surrenders have resumed at the Wake County Animal Center with new requirements. Owners giving up their pets will have to apply and make an appointment first. The shelter hopes this will alleviate overcrowding and the need to euthanize animals. It'll also help the center connect pet owners with resources to avoid having to surrender their animals in some situations.
This will give us an opportunity to get people on our list to help them as we can. We can kind of intervene as they're giving us information that, you know, why they can't keep their pet.
And the center stopped taking surrenders last month after being over capacity for 2 years.
Duke Energy says electricity use in North Carolina is growing faster than they predicted. In fact, the rate of growth is now 8 times higher than what was projected in 2022. To try to keep up with that demand, Duke Energy and other electric companies are turning to new power plants. We learned Wednesday one of those new plants will go up in Person County. Duke Energy says it will add a second natural gas plant to a site where one is already in the works. The site currently houses a coal plant that will be demolished. Not everyone who lives nearby is on board with the plans, though.
I don't want to see Person County sacrificed for the energy needs of Raleigh, Durham, and Chapel Hill.
We are trying to take advantage of the existing property that we already have, the existing transmission that we have, the workforce that is already there.
Duke Energy says the new plants will be cleaner and more efficient energy-wise than the existing coal plant.
It is the latest trend that's taking over TikTok, but it has many parents and dermatologists concerned. Ahead, the advice from experts on your preteen's skincare routine.
Plus, if you're looking to buy a home in the Triangle, you don't have to go far. Coming up, where the Bull City ranks in the housing market for Gen Z buyers.
It's 8:43 on a beautiful morning. We take a live look at Wake Forest. Lots of sunshine out there. It's been a chilly start. Our temperatures in the Triangle are in the mid-30s, but we've seen temperatures in the upper 20s in a few places this morning. This afternoon, with all this sunshine and wind coming out of the southwest, we'll actually see a warmer high temperature than we saw yesterday. Early this morning, we saw a little bit of low cloud cover. That has dissipated, and there's not a cloud in the sky out there right now, and our winds are calm. It is 30 in Roxboro, 31 in Southern Pines, and Rocky Mount, 33 in Fayetteville, 34 in Clinton and Gold. Goldsboro. So our temperatures are starting to warm up just a little bit, and that flow coming out of the southwest as we get into the afternoon will really help to bump up our temperatures. Right now, we're running 5 to 10 degrees colder than we were this time yesterday, but our high yesterday only made it into the upper 40s, and this afternoon, we're looking at upper 50s, so about 10 degrees warmer. 58 in Raleigh, 57 in Durham, and 60 for the high in Fayetteville this afternoon. Take a look at what happens when our wind shifts to southwesterly this afternoon. You can see those red arrows coming up out of the south. That's going to be a warming trend for us as we get through this afternoon and even overnight. And then a cold front drops in on us. That front will move across the area on Friday afternoon. And behind that, we see our wind coming from the opposite direction, coming out of the north, northwest, and turning blue there as a symbol of the colder temperatures that will be coming in. Now, we're not talking about an Arctic outbreak by any means, but we'll just see a bit of a difference in our temperatures from Friday to Saturday. Our normal high is 53, 58 for today, 63 for Friday for Groundhog Day, and then back into the mid-50s on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. But we'll continue to see plenty of sunshine. Saturday's the Krispy Kreme Challenge, a really popular race that happens starting at the Bell Tower at NC State University. Everybody runs down to the Krispy Kreme, tries to eat a whole bunch of donuts, and run on back. And you can imagine what happens when they do. temperatures will be fine for that, upper 30s at 8 o'clock. So it'll be chilly, but I don't think they mind. They always schedule this for the beginning of February. And people dress up in costumes. It's a big fun time out there. 63 for tomorrow. It is Groundhog Day. And with partly cloudy skies, it is likely that the groundhogs will see their shadow around here. Scientifically, if we look ahead to the weekend and early next week, it does look a little on the cool side, Brian.
It is 8:45. Quick update on some of the backups that we're following right now around the triangle. We're going to start off on the south side of Durham, where we have a report of a crash out there on 40 eastbound, right around Fayetteville Road, out toward Alston Avenue. Not getting confirmation of two crashes, but at least one crash creating some of those backups. A 16-minute delay right now from 15501 out toward 885. So it's looking a little better out there as we get some of that cleared up and traffic volume starts to ease a little bit. On the west side of 440 around Raleigh, the Beltline, an earlier crash on 440 westbound between Lake Boone and Wade Avenue is also getting cleared up. Still looking at a 12-minute delay, though, as you come in from 87. A lot of that begins around the Capitol Boulevard interchange and extends out towards Six Forks Road and beyond. And then on the south side of Raleigh, we had that earlier crash on 40 westbound right around Hammond Road. That has cleared in the past few minutes. Still seeing about a 9-minute delay between 440 and Hammond.
February is American Heart Month, and a new survey is revealing how people feel about using artificial intelligence and technology for better health. The survey done by the Cleveland Clinic shows 3 in 5 Americans believe AI will lead to improving heart care. 50% of Americans use at least one type of technology to monitor their health, including daily step trackers. Devices like Apple Watches and Fitbits provide data that can help process results from CT scans or MRIs. The survey also found that health monitoring technology also helps improve sleeping habits.
Skincare products like eye creams and toners used to be popular for adults, but now the tween skincare craze is taking social media by storm. Girls as young as 9 and 10 years old spend hours, even hundreds of dollars, inside beauty stores like Sephora and Ulta, stocking up on multi-step skincare products. As Christina Coleman explains, the trend is raising red flags for both parents and dermatologists.
Let's do my skincare.
Beauty is only skin deep, and for a younger generation of Americans, they are focusing on fresh faces. An increasing number of tweens are becoming obsessed with the multi-step skincare routines they're seeing on social media. The youngest generation taking over the cosmetic aisles and flocking to stores like Sephora and Ulta to stock up on a bunch of beauty products.
I use a cleanser, then 3 moisturizers, a serum, like a facial spray, and an overnight mask, and an eye cream.
11-year-old Leron Neve does a roughly 10-minute regimen every night before bed and a slightly different version of the same process when she wakes up in the morning. Like many her age, the routine inspired by social media.
It became like a trend, but I mostly do it to take care of my skin.
However, not all products are designed for their young skin. Board-certified dermatologist Dr. Nkem Ugonabo says it's still too soon to know if using these products at an early age will lead to irreversible skin problems. But for now, they could be facing a range of issues.
The more unnecessary products you have in your routine, the more opportunities there are for things to go wrong. And that could be like acne breakouts, irritation, but could also be as intense as, you know, damage to the skin barrier and the skin health overall.
Dr. Uganabo, who has young patients with complex routines, understands the draw for preteens, but suggests paring it down to three simple steps.
Having a gentle cleanser, a moisturizer, and a sunscreen. That sunscreen should have an SPF of at least 30.
While she has mixed feelings on the tween beauty craze, it can be turned into a teaching opportunity.
You can take advantage of their enthusiasm and just kind of steer it in the direction of focusing on healthy skin and not just like fun skin products or complicated skin products for the heck of it.
But Leron's mom worries that it's making her sixth grader grow up too fast.
I feel that it's aging her a little faster than I would like. Last year, she was still playing with Barbie dolls. And now she's wanting Drunk Elephant.
Wow, that was Christina Coleman reporting. Dr. Uganabo warns that using products containing harsh ingredients like chemical acids or retinols can be harmful on young skin.
Researchers are sounding the alarm about energy drinks and how they affect young kids. Researchers in the UK examined data from more than a million children from more than 21 countries, and they found kids who consumed energy drinks had a higher risk of ADHD, depression, anxiety, and suicidal thoughts. Researchers are calling on governments to ban sales of energy drinks to children under 16.
After years of strain on American budgets, some economists say recent news is making them optimistic. The Federal Reserve is signaling it could cut interest rates in the near future. That's after months of hikes and yesterday's vote to hold steady. Fed Chair Jerome Powell says the Fed is feeling confident about inflation, but not too confident.
If you're looking to buy your first home, maybe you should consider Durham. In a new list from the real estate news site Point Two, the Bull City ranks the seventh best housing market for Gen Zers. The list factors in location, cost, and nearby activities. Metrics like home price to income ratio and inventory were also taken into account. A real estate broker who specializes in the Durham area says one trend she is seeing is younger buyers teaming up with friends to help make home ownership a reality.
Some of them are even getting roommates. So that it's an investment property immediately, and they're living in it at the same time. They turn around, they sell it for wherever they're moving to or if they're moving up, and they've made a good investment.
Yeah, Raleigh ranked 43rd on the list, which includes the 100 biggest cities in the U.S.
A South Carolina woman's email to her city's public works sends employees searching for a missing wedding band. And like finding a needle in the haystack, two eagle-eyed workers were able to find the diamond-studded ring. The woman says she emailed the recycling center after her wedding band slipped off her finger into recycling. Not expecting to ever see the ring again, the worker sifted through this giant pile of trash, finding the ring and getting it back to its rightful owner. Oh, my goodness.
What a find.
Yeah.
Baltimore Ravens defensive coordinator Mike McDonald is headed to Seattle, signing with the Seahawks as the team's newest head coach. Sources say McDonald has signed a six-year contract. At just 36 years of age, he's the NFL's youngest head coach, replacing longtime coach Pete Carroll, who was double his age, 72 years old. McDonald led the Ravens to number one in points allowed, sacks, and takeaways in the league for 2023.
Barbie star Margot Robbie has broken her silence about what some call an Oscar snub from Best Actress. According to Deadline, Robbie spoke about it at the special SAG-AFTRA screening on Tuesday night, and she said, quote, "There's no way to feel sad when you know you're this blessed." She added that she thinks Greta Gerwig should have been nominated for Best Director. She called Gerwig's accomplishment a once-in-a-career, once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Reba McEntire is eyeing a return to sitcoms. Country music star is the executive producer, and she also stars in the new pilot for NBC. And in that show, her character inherits her father's restaurant, and her business partner is a half-sister she never knew about.
And Usher fans are going to have it bad for this Super Bowl merchandise. The NFL has teamed up with Usher to create a line of merch celebrating Super Bowl 58's halftime show headliner. The collection includes jerseys, hoodies, jackets, t-shirts, hats, and a limited edition Wilson football. The items match the purple and pink color scheme being used for this year's Super Bowl. That merch goes on sale in February this month.
Now, before we head to break, here's a look at your winning lottery numbers. We'll get a check on weather and traffic next.